Hi, I'm Evelyn DeLucia. I live in White Plains, New York, and I listen to Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 62 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. I'm so proud of you.
What did I do?
Well, you have been, I know you've been really working on coming back from your injury, and I think you're up to 8 or 9 miles now. Is that what I remember?
Yes, I expect to be in, I really expect to be, it's been really kind of weird. It's been coming back to me much quicker than I had anticipated. I expect to be in full race mode within another month.
That's awesome. And looking forward to next week doing the Expedition Everest Challenge. Not running it, but just broadcasting from there. We'll interview people. That should be really fun. Yeah, so I have a shout-out today, and it's a sort of a request. I feel like a DJ sometimes playing songs for people, but this is from our buddy Mike Paxton, who's been on the show several times. We love Mike from Colorado. And he wanted to know if we could give a shout-out to his coworker, whose name is Megan Stell. And Megan is going to run her first Run Disney event and her first half marathon next year. And she saw Mike's shirt, and she decided she wanted to run Disney. And so Mike talked her into it. So, Megan, we hope to see you out there on the course. I think it's terrific, and you have a good coach there.
Good luck, Megan, and we're glad to see you have joined the rest of us in drinking the Kool-Aid. Michelle, this past week, I'm sure a lot of people are talking about this, there was an announcement of a new race. Yet another new Run Disney event, and we received a press release from the Disney company. And
I know my head is spinning with all these races. I think somebody said we're going to have enough medals to decorate our Christmas trees.
and you know, we'll have to do a show on this, because there's just no way that anybody can do all of them. So I think people will need to make decisions based on cost and, you know, being able to get away from work and everything. But let's get back to the new race. And what I'd like to do, with your permission, is I'd like to read the press release that we received from Run Disney on the 26th of April, so that we can pretty much spell out exactly what this race is all about.
I think people would love that, because there's been a lot of buzz already about this race. So go right ahead.
Okay, so it comes out of Lake Buena Vista, Florida, and it's dated April 26th. 2013, and here's what it says. It says, building on the success of its women-focused events, Run Disney is broadening the Disney Princess Half Marathon weekend at Walt Disney World next year by adding a 10K and a new two-race challenge. The Princess 10K gives runners of various levels more opportunities to run through Disney theme parks and receive a specially designed finisher medal. And runners looking for an even bigger challenge can sign up for the 10K on Saturday and the half marathon on Sunday for a total of 19.3 miles to earn the inaugural Disney Glass Slipper Challenge medal to go along with medals from each individual race. The Princess Half Marathon weekend, scheduled for February 20th and the 23rd, between the 20th and 23rd, is one of two women-focused Run Disney events. The other is the Tinkerbell Half Marathon weekend in January at the Disneyland Resort in California. Both races are among the largest women-specific running events in the country and focus on healthy, active lifestyles for women and girls. For instance, after nearly 7,500 runners ran In the inaugural Princess Half Marathon event in 2009, the popularity of the race has grown considerably, with more than 26,000 registered runners for last year's race. Also new in 2014 is a special edition Run Disney Coast to Coast Race Challenge Medal for runners participating in the 2014 Tinkerbell Half Marathon at Disneyland in January and the 2014 Princess Half Marathon 5 weeks later at Walt Disney World. Finishers receive the coveted medal featuring the likeness of Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse with a pink overlay and lanyard. Registration for the 2014 Princess Half Marathon opens June 11th at www.rundisney.com. A limited number of runners will have the opportunity to register for both the Princess and Tinkerbell Half Marathon at that time. Those not securing an early registration for the Tinkerbell Half Marathon will have a second chance when online registration officially opens on July 9th. Both the Princess and Tinkerbell Half Marathon weekends include signature Run Disney events, including a health and fitness expo geared towards women, kids races, a family fun run 5K, as well as featured half marathons for both weekends. And of course, it says for more information and to register for Run Disney events, visit www.rundisney.com. So,
Mike, I just want to clarify that the July 9th is actually going to be when the registration for the Tinkerbell Half Marathon is going to happen. So the Princess Half is June 11th, and it sounds like they're going to have a few slots open for people who want to do both, but the official for the Tinkerbell Half Marathon and when there'll be more slots available is July 9th.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So it seems to be the trend is adding these 10Ks, and why do you think they're doing that?
I think that there are several reasons. I think one of the main objectives here is to help those who are just starting out. I think that these races are geared towards the Run Disney aficionados who are within a year or two of just starting out. I think that the 10K race is, to me, it's a bridge between a 5K and a half marathon. I think that there are people who are not sure if they can make that leap to 13 miles from three. I mean, there's a difference of 10 miles. But if they can go from a 5K to a 10K, sometimes the leap from 6.2 miles to 13.1 miles may not seem so daunting. So I think that's one of the things they want to do. I also think that they have recognized that these parlay races or these back-to-back races are pretty popular. The Goofy for so many years has proven to be very, very popular. So now we've got the Dumbo Double Dare. We've got obviously the Dopey Challenge in January. And now we have the Disney Glass Slipper Challenge. So I think that it's something that we're going to see. I'm wondering what this will do for a race like the Wine and Dine. I wonder if they would ever have something for Wine and Dine. So we'll see.
It sounds like they're adding it to many different races now. So I don't know. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they did. One of the big things that people are really interested in, as I was reading online, is this new Coast to Coast medal. And it's pretty much the same Coast to Coast medal. If you know, you and I already have a Coast to Coast medal, which is great, and it's the best bling ever. But the new one has kind of like just pink on the bottom. There's a pink, and it sounds like there's going to be a pink ribbon too. But I think the thing that is really cool is the glass slipper medal. So if you do the 10K and the half, you get the special glass slipper medal. So another trend seems to be enticing people to sign up for more than one race by offering multiple medals for multiple races. So you don't just get two for two races, you're going to get three. And so potentially you could have a four medal weekend if you did all the races that weekend for either the Tinkerbell or the Princess, and then add the Coast to Coast if you do both. Lots of medals. I don't know.
You know, Michelle, I think I've told you this in private, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but when I see these specific races geared towards women and I see how quickly the registration fills up, I really think that these should be exclusively for women. Mm-hmm. I think that if a limited number of slots are there, I think that it should be, they should be available only for, you know, who these races are geared towards. And I have an issue with the
it would never fly if they said a men only race. I mean, women wouldn't stand for that. So I think they can never do that. But for the Princess, I remember reading there were only 1,400 men anyway. So I don't think a lot of men take up those slots, and they make them start in Corral C. So, I mean, I think it's nice, and we've mentioned this on the show before. I think it's nice for, you know, husbands running with wives, brothers and sisters, boyfriends running. You know, if you're a little bit nervous about running your first Disney event, I think it's nice to have that opportunity. So, I think we will respectfully disagree on that one.
No, I just don't like to see anybody get shut out of something like this. So,
all right, we're gonna do some questions on the show.
Yeah, we've got questions are building up, so it's time to do some questions, and we're going to give our best shot at answering them. Remember, we are not professionals. We are not doctors. We are not professional trainers. We have a lot of experience, so we're going to do our best to answer these questions. And, Michelle, why don't you start us off?
Well, I'm a doctor, but I can only talk about science education. So, our first question tonight is from Tammy Burkett Kubas. And she says, I'm getting excited about my first Disney race, Expedition Everest. So that's coming up. So this is very timely. I know there are different options when it comes to earphones, and I have a question regarding them in Disney. I run and train wearing headphones. I like having music. The website, which I assume she means the one run Disney website, says entertainment along the race route. But is there music? Is there music the whole time playing, like the background music they play at the parks? Thanks for your help. I look forward to seeing and meeting you. So I'd like to take a crack at this one, Mike, if you don't mind. So I think that's a great question, because you hear about race start and you hear about race finish, but sometimes it's a little, you know, we don't really see many videos step by step what it looks like along the race. And so there is music, Tammy, along the race route, but it isn't like the parks, because you have to remember you're running on the roadways a lot of times. Sometimes in the parks that they do have park music, but once every mile they'll have a band or a DJ. So what I like to do is I do run with my iPod Shuffle. I try to keep the music on low. I run with my workout running list that I use all the time. And then when I get to a place where there's music, I make sure that I just turn it off. I just hit the button and turn it off so that I can hear. But in between those times, you'll be entertained with different types of music. But in between those times, you'll want to use your own running playlist if you like to run with music. Mike, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think I agree with you, except on the 5Ks. I think the 5Ks are filled with more entertainment per square foot, per running foot, I guess.
I think that's a great point. Yeah.
And that there's all kinds of things you will see. For instance, even in I cannot imagine wearing headphones for Expedition Everest Challenge, because there are so many things that are going to be going on. I don't think you could have that that steady cadence of music. I think that when you're talking 10K and beyond, then it's a different story. But
I think that's a great point because it is a scavenger hunt, and I think you'll be needing, right. I forgot that was the original question, which is she was doing the Expedition Everest. So yes, I guess for that race, I wouldn't. If it were me running it, I wouldn't. But wouldn't do it. But if it was the 10K or a half, I would.
And just to one more thing to mention to Tammy. So Tammy, when you're doing a like a 10 miler, I guess the 10 miler had some, entertainment and the half marathons and the full marathons, what you will see, bands, you will see DJs for a while, you'll see some entertainment, and then there's a certain point in the race where you won't see it, and that's where your headphones come into play. And I've mentioned this many times, music and listening to your iPod or whatever, that comes into play, and it's very useful during the second half of any of these long run Disney races. So keep that in mind. Okay, the second question for today's show comes from Chris O'Connor, and Chris has some question on the running trails at Kidani. And Chris says, greetings, Mike and Michelle. I am enjoying your podcast and all of the great information you've been providing us with. I am going to be staying at Kidani Village next month, and I have been hearing about the lack of options there in terms of paths, trails for runners. What suggestions do you have for those of us staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge who would like to get a run in during our stay? I will have a car if there is a convenient option nearby to drive to, but naturally I would prefer something at the resort or as close as possible to it. Thanks very much. Well, I've stayed at Kidani, and I remember staying there either I think it was I stayed there when I did the Princess a few years ago, and there was no place to run. They do have a very nice gym there, but there are no trails to speak of. Then there's a lot of traffic there, Chris. If you really need to get a run in, there are two places that I would suggest. One of my favorite places to run in, and I ran there last year, was that if you go to the All-Star Resorts, the outside rim of the All-Star Resorts is just huge. You can run forever, and you can run along the sidewalk, and you don't have to worry about running into people or whatever. That would be my suggestion. The other place would be Coronado Springs, but if I had a choice, I'd go with the All-Star Resorts because it's close by. It's maybe a five-minute drive from Kidani in the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I would go down there. That's what I would do. Michelle?
I love running at Coronado Springs. I know that, you know, we did it once when, I don't remember, we were there for a race or something like that. But the thing about Coronado Springs is you have to do lots and lots of different laps. And depending on when you're running, you have to kind of dodge people who are walking on the paths. But, yeah, I know that there isn't anything at Kidani. And I think your answer is great, so I don't have much to add. All right, are we ready for our third question? All right, so it is from David Welty, and he says, hello, Mike and Marathoner Princess Michelle. I already like this, David. This is long overdue, but I just started listening to the Mickey Miles podcast after I ran my first marathon, the WDW 20th Anniversary Marathon. I've listened to every one of them since then on my runs. I'll be running my second marathon this weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. My goal is to break 4 hours, coming just short at WDW. I've also, like many others, caught the Disney running bug. I've signed up to run the Disneyland Half and get my Coast to Coast medal in September, the Wine and Dine in WDW in November, and I might even go for my Goofy Challenge next January if I'm feeling crazy enough. I have a question about training. I don't normally train on paths with hills, but I want to get stronger and faster. I heard that training on hills can help. How many times would you recommend per week that I run on hills so I can get faster and stronger? Also, would strength training help as well? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for all your advice and Disney insight from the podcast, and I look forward to meeting you both at one of Disney's races. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I think that one of the things I would tell David is that there's no way that training on hills can hurt you. And it would definitely help if you did some training on hills. And here's the reason why. I have heard from many people who train runners that say that when you run on hills, what you're doing is you're strengthening your legs. You're strengthening your thighs, and you're strengthening your core. And what that does is that adds to the stamina. And what that will do is that will help you, not just on hills, but it will help you during a marathon or a half marathon when normally fatigue would set in. But the strength training and hill, when running on hills, is actually very, very similar to strength training, like doing a stair stepper or a stair climber. Anything that you can use to strengthen your core is going to help you with stamina, and it's going to help you get through a race. Now, I'm not saying it might make you faster, but it's definitely going to give you something to call upon when you're running low on energy. And I think that hills are definitely something that you should work on. As far as how often, I'd say once a week would be fine. Michelle, you run a lot on hills. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we live in New Hampshire, and it's hard to get away from running on hills. I do my long runs on a flat rail trail, but once a week I run on hills. And from what I understand, running on hills helps work your upper leg muscles, and it also helps you to develop the muscles that you use when you're sprinting. So I think it's very, very helpful. I find that I get just the best workout. And then when I go to Disney or I do some other race, I feel really trained, not just in terms of my strength, but also mentally trained to take on a hill. I don't feel like it's really daunting. The hills around here are very, very steep. And I think it's good to practice for strength but and speed, but also just to kind of tackle, you know, in your mind when you're in a race and you see a hill coming, how are you going to handle it? So I recommend it. I think once a week is fine. I do strength training, and I've mentioned it before on the show. We've had my strength trainer on here, Seth. I don't think that that helps with my speed. What I believe that that helps with is to ensure that I'm not injured. I think that that's done the most to make sure that I don't have – I don't even use tape or anything for my IT band anymore. I feel like it's helped my stamina, but I don't think it helps speed, if that's what you're looking for. I say once a week, though, and there are a lot of great articles online if you just look for running on hills, and you'll find other advice about it. But once a week is my advice.
Yeah, the one other thing I wanted to add was that there are courses in Orlando at the Walt Disney World especially in January, where, like, for instance, the half marathon, there are some ramps that are hilly. And Michelle, you probably recall when you ran in the marathon in January, when you were coming along, you were coming down near the boardwalk, and you had to go over that bridge where you've got actually the bridge that takes you to Stormalong Bay. And then as you passed Stormalong Bay and you went up that slight incline to International Gateway, that's when the hill training really helped you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, doing things like you mentioned to me a long time ago, Mike, it's really helped to look down and not to look ahead, because it can be kind of daunting to see that gigantic hill, but kind of look down if you can do it safely. Just look, you know, see what's coming right in front of you. And I really think mentally you have to kind of learn how to take hills, because I know that especially when I did the marathon, when I saw a hill, I thought, oh, thank goodness, because I was using different muscles. It felt good to get kind of stretch my legs going up those hills and down the hills too. And you have to practice going down the hill safely too, because I think the tendency sometimes is to speed up and go faster, and you can fall or you could pull a muscle that way. So it's good practice.
Yeah, it's dangerous running too fast going downhill. Our next question comes from Ray Pilgrim, who hails from Texas. And Ray says, "Dear Mickey Miles Podcast, I've done several Run Disney half marathons, and I enjoy stopping and meeting the characters. But I feel conflicted because sometimes the lines are long, and I have that internal voice saying, hurry up so I can. So I usually skip the really long ones. This October, I signed up for both the 5K and the 10-mile Tower of Terror. My plan is to relax and stop as much as I want for the 5K to meet the characters and not worry about the time. My question is, do they sweep the 5K? Is there a time limit that you have to be done by? Thank you." Well, I do not recall, Ray, of hearing of anyone who was swept doing a 5K. If the 5K was in the Magic Kingdom, then I'd say, I don't know, but the 5Ks that I have seen and have participated in Walt Disney World, seem to be without the sweepers. I think that the Run Disney folks want people to really get a taste of what it's like to be in a Run Disney event. And this is where the couch potatoes start off, and a good experience would carry them a long way. So I don't really think you'll ever see anybody swept in a 5K. Michelle?
Well, you know, I did the Jingle Jungle 5K for the Wine and Dine? I can't remember. Yeah, the Wine and Dine. And I was with friends, and we walked and stopped for every single character along the way. I did see sweepers there in the Animal Kingdom. We were very close to the sweepers. We really took our time. I agree with you. I've never seen anybody swept. However, for the longer races, depending on when you're starting off, I would definitely keep a running watch, make sure that you're sticking to the 16-minute mile pace. And Holly Allen, who's a good friend of ours and a friend of the show, her philosophy, I think, is a really good one. She stops for characters who are really unusual, people who you couldn't see in the parks, and I like that idea. The lines are getting longer, and I think you really have to kind of decide if you want to take the time to stop. But also remember, it takes probably 20 seconds to take a picture with the character, so, you know, it doesn't take very long. The lines move quickly. We stopped for a lot at the Tower Terror 10-miler, and it was fine. But I wanted to mention, too, that for the 5K, Disney does post a 16-minute mile time limit. So they do post, but I agree with you, Mike. I've never seen anybody swept or heard of anybody swept. All right, our next question is from Bill Carney. He's from Columbus, Ohio. He says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. Thanks for the podcast. I really enjoy it, and I'm learning so much. I now listen to it during my runs. I just started running last June and to support my weight loss efforts. A complete success, I'm happy to say. I'm now my ideal weight. I'm running every other day, minimum distance of 4 miles, and up to 13.5 miles, a 9:58 pace last Saturday on my weekend run. I don't have any specific training plan, no walk-run, for example. I just run. My question is, do I need a formal plan? My goal is to run at least 2 half marathons this year and perhaps a couple of 5Ks. The Tower Terror 10-milers on my radar, too. I run for health reasons and the sheer fun of it. And since I can already run a half marathon in terms of distance without problem, I'm struggling to identify a plan that would be useful. What plan would you recommend that would help me avoid injury and maybe pick up the pace a little bit? Also, I heard Mike mention that he doesn't need much water while running. I don't carry it at all, and I never seem to need it. What should I be carrying in terms of hydration for long runs? Thanks again for this great podcast, and please keep up the great work." So lots of interesting questions here. It sounds to me, Mike, that you are doing very well without a plan. there are certain plans out there if you wanted to increase your speed, increase your pace. I know Hal Higdon has a plan that a lot of our friends use. And what do you think, Mike? Does he need a plan if he's already running half marathon? Doesn't sound like a marathon is on the horizon yet for him.
Well, I'm looking to see what Bill said. He wants a plan that would help him avoid injury and pick up the pace a bit. I think that, Bill, that you're doing the right thing by running every other day. I think it's good to take a day off. As far as avoiding injury, I think that what you want to do is you want to make sure that you, if you do increase your mileage, do it at a very, very slow rate so that you don't shock your system. I think the other thing you want to do is I never had a plan when I ran. I made up my own plan. I whatever worked for me was going to be what was going to work for me. So I think that if you've already had success running a half marathon, then I'd say stick with whatever's working for you. As far as getting faster, what you may want to do is you may want to incorporate some speed work. And rather than me or Michelle tell you what to do, I would just go on Google and do a search on speed work. You will find things on fartlecking, and you will find stuff on interval running. And for instance, let's say you were running, and you say you run the whole time. So let's say you went out for a 2-hour run. What you may want to do is every 5 minutes, you know, for 10 seconds, you may run a little bit faster. You may want to do things at a certain pace. But again, I think that what you need to do is you need to see what's out there, see what works for you, and always, always, always make sure that you don't do anything that is too much. You don't want to make giant leaps. You just want to make small advances.
And I think, too, that we know that Jeff Galloway has these plans. Even if you don't, if you want to consider a walk run, which I think is a great way to avoid injury, he has plans at different levels too. So you could download a plan for different levels. But Mikey had one more question, and the question is: should he be carrying hydration for long runs? Now, I know that when I first met you, you didn't carry any hydration. I always carry a water belt if I'm doing anything more than like 7 miles. I'll carry a water belt. I went out today and did 9 miles, and for the temperature right now, I was using one bottle of Goo Brew for about every 3 miles. So for me, it's essential. I get very, very thirsty very quickly, but I know other people who don't. So, and I know you carry a water belt now sometimes, but at the beginning you didn't.
Yeah, I when I was training years ago, I remember I went out, I think it was September, one September Sunday morning, and I thought I'd just go out for a 7-mile run. I said, well, I don't need anything, you know, I never really went with any water. I went out and I ran 14 and a half miles, and I didn't have a water belt. That was not smart. Carry a water belt now, and I sometimes go out. Well, tomorrow I'm planning to go out for a couple hours and run, and I'm planning to bring my water belt I'm going to have 4 bottles. But the other thing, Michelle, is that it's not just water. It's electrolyte drink. It's replenishing all those electrolytes. So it's not just hydration that we should be concerned about. It's nutrition. And so the gels and the water and the electrolyte drink is very important. And I would say, Bill, I didn't know what I was missing. So try it. It makes a big difference, because you may not realize that you're thirsty, but you really are thirsty. So give it a shot. Maybe just take a bottle of water with you, carry it or whatever, or maybe invest in a water belt. I think that it's something that everybody should be aware of, that hydration is very important.
And especially when the warm weather is going to be upon us, that running 13 miles without having anything, I think, could be a little dangerous. You don't want to be halfway through your run, 7 miles out, and feel, you know, you could get a cramp, you could get very nauseous. If you decide to run with something, they're running things that, you know, they're running bottles that you can hold in your hand. There's some different types of belts. Not every belt works for every person. That's where maybe going to an expo to try out different companies. We use iFitness, but there are other types too that people like. There are Nathan belts and other belts. So I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, you should always be hydrating even before your run, a couple hours beforehand, the day before. You walk around Walt Disney World during marathon weekend, you'll see runners with bottles always drinking. Always drinking. Michelle, I guess that's probably all we have time for this show. And we'll have to see if we can get to the other questions as soon as possible. So I guess that will be it. Do you have any last words before we sign off?
No, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody for sending questions. Keep them coming. And we will be at the Expedition Everest Challenge. You'll see us in our Mickey Miles podcast shirts with the logo. And we hope you come up and say hello. If you do, we'll interview you and put you on the show. So we hope to meet a whole bunch of people. And we also have a meet coming up on May 5th at 1 o'clock at the... Where is it, Mike?
I think it's at the...
Art of Animation.
Yeah. Landscape of Flavors.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to have lunch there. It's actually a great food court. And if you haven't been over there, it's kind of a nice excuse to go over and tour that resort and sit down and have lunch with us. And let's talk about running Disney. Yep.
And that will do it for today's show, episode 62. So for Dr. Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Dr. Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.